let's go ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 18, and we're going to read verse number 10. And for the past few weeks, we have been attempting to focus on some foundational truths that are necessary in the lives of believers. And the more I am teaching on this subject, the more I understand that I need to teach on this subject. But it's very important for us to know the foundational truths of the Scripture. We've taught, first of all, for it is God who worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Then last week we talked about faith. Today I want us to talk about our blessed assurance. Now this is not going to be our text. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 10 is not going to be our text. We're just going to use it sort of as a jumping off point. But it explains assurance. Listen, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is saved. What a blessing to know that we can trust in the name of the Lord, we can run to the Lord, and find safety in the name of the Lord. In other words, as Tammy's song said, we can trust the Lord with our lives. Now, what a blessing, what a truth, what a joy to know that we can trust the Lord with our lives. Let me encourage you today to know and understand that you need to run into the Lord. Because that's the only place where you truly have assurance, is in the name of the Lord. So here we find in Proverbs chapter number 18 that assurance is found here. Now, I want you to notice it is a proverb. And a proverb is a wise saying. It's different than a promise. And we may talk about that a little bit more in the future, how that things you find in the book of Proverbs aren't necessarily promises. They are proverbs. They are wise sayings, such as a penny saved is a penny earned. So this is a proverb, and it's an encouragement to you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and it's saved. And so it's a wise proverb. It's a statement of fact. But we know and we understand because of the name of the Lord, because of who He is, that we can run into Him and find safety. And it tells us that the righteous runneth into it and is saved. Who are those that are saved? Where are the righteous? And where does righteousness originate? We know and understand that righteousness is only through Christ. The Bible tells us that, and we studied, some of us studied in our Sunday school class this morning, how that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we understand that in the natural man that none of us are righteous. We also learn from Romans 5:12 that righteousness only comes through Christ. And that righteousness is in Christ. So we understand that. Who are the righteous that can run into Christ and are saved? It's those who have trusted Christ. Those who have surrendered their lives to Him. And truly, the only way to have assurance is because you have run into the name of Christ. Because you have trusted Christ. Because you are believing in Christ. And why are they saved? The righteous are saved because they run into Christ. They run into the arms of Christ because they have trusted the Lord with their lives. So as followers of Jesus, it is important that we know our assurance. It is important that we know our faith is in Christ. That our hope is in Christ. We have no hope apart from Christ. We have truly no safety apart from Christ. That we need to run to Him to find safety. And we do find that safety there in Christ's assurance. Now let's turn over to the book of Acts in chapter number 17. We're just going to look at some scriptures today that talk to us about the word assurance. And it tells us that we have assurance. And it tells us in Acts 17:31, it says, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, assurance. What is the word assurance and what does it mean? Well, Webster defines assurance as making a declaration in terms that furnish ground of confidence. Making a declaration in terms that furnish a ground of confidence. So this verse here is telling us that God has declared to us the resurrection of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus is that which we have, which gives us assurance. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus is the testimony to us. It's the reason that we can have assurance. It is the evidence of our assurance. If Jesus was still lying in the grave, we could have no assurance. But since Jesus has risen again from the grave, because God has raised him from the dead, then we can say, oh grave, where is thy sting? Oh death, where is thy victory? We can know and understand the hope that desires, because we know that in this life there is no hope. But we have hope of eternal life, a hope that is in Christ, and that gives us assurance. It gives us confidence as we look towards the future, as we look toward eternity, we can have assurance. Now I can remember a time when I didn't have assurance when I thought about eternity. I can remember as a boy waking up in the middle of the night being afraid of dying. I can remember when I turned 18 years old and I had to register for Selective Service, and it scared me to death. Because I knew that if there was a war, I would be drafted, and if I would be drafted, I would go to war, and if I went to war, I knew I was going to die, and that scared me to death. I lived in fear of dying for a long period of time. I had no assurance. But now I have assurance. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. Why? Because I put my faith in Christ. Because I know that God raised him from the dead. And I have believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now I have assurance. Why am I confident of my eternal life? It's because of God's promises. Because of the promises that God has made. My assurance is not in myself. My assurance is not in my faith. My assurance is not in my works. My assurance is in the finished work of Christ, the finished work of God, that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the plan of God, and he came to live the perfect life, and when he died in my place. And he bare my sin in his own body there on the tree, and he was raised again the third day for my justification. And I am declared righteous in the eyes of God because of Christ and what he has done for me. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I have assurance today because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because of the finished work of Christ. I have a confidence. A further definition of assurance is the act of furnishing any ground of full confidence. That's what the Greek phrase means. The act of furnishing any ground of full confidence. Now we know that there are many people who don't have confidence in life. They don't have confidence in the world to come. They don't have confidence in even their religion. And the reason they don't have confidence in their religion, because their religion is based upon what they are doing or what they have done. It is the linchpin that holds it together is their faith, their works, their belief, their, what they are doing. The linchpin is what they are doing. And they look at themselves and they see their inabilities and they have no assurance. But my hope is not in me. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. According to A.T. Robertson, in his description of this word assurance, and he uses the Greek man by the name of Demosthenes. Demosthenes, a Greek scholar says it is to bring forward evidence. And so when we're looking here in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 31, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings evidence of eternal life. Life for you, if you put your faith in Christ. Life for me, because I have put my trust in Christ. Because God has come to me and quickened me and made me alive and drew me unto Himself. I have full assurance. What is happening here in Acts chapter number 17, Paul is talking to the Greek philosophers of the day on Mars Hill. And he's talking to them about their philosophy. If you go back up to verse number 22, it says, "And then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Basically, on Mars Hill, there was a temple to every god that they could imagine. But just in case they missed one, they made a temple to the unknown god. And Paul, in his wisdom, is declaring unto them the unknown god. And in their philosophies, they have no assurance. Paul goes on to say, verse 25, "Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeth he giveth to all men life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very, very far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So God is talking to them about their religion. He's talking about the superstition that is in their religion and how their religion is erroneous. He's telling them about serving God. He's telling them about Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is this: herein is the difference between what you believe and what I believe. Here's the evidence that what I'm preaching to you is true, that what I'm telling you is true. And then he tells them about verse 31. Why do you need to repent? Why does God command all men everywhere to repent? And he uses as his evidence the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He said in verse 30 that God is going to bring things into judgment. Verse 31, he's going to bring things into judgment. And he's going to judge them by the righteousness of that man who has been raised again. Men are going to be judged because of the righteousness or by the righteousness of Christ. And the reason that they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ is because he has been raised from the dead. Now listen, if you are going to live eternally, how are you going to live eternally? What is the basis of your eternal life? Oh, I'm just going to live, I'm going to go to heaven because what? Why? How? How you gonna get there? You know, Kimberly and I have always wanted to go to Hawaii. There's only one thing that keeps us from going there. The ability to get there. Now, we can jump on a plane and get there. It's the means of getting there, right? I mean, we could jump on a plane and she's got a friend that lives over there that could get us a place to live cheaply or stay cheaply and all those things. But, you know, it takes certain things that we don't have, such as funds, to get there. And time and all kinds of things. So we'd like to go there and it's our dream to go there, but we have no means of getting there. Some of you would like to go to heaven. Some of you maybe even dream of going to heaven. But how are you going to get there? What's your means? I know I'm going. Because of the means of Jesus Christ. Because he has been raised again for my justification. Christ, my faith, the evidence, my faith is in Jesus Christ. I know I live because Jesus lives. That's my assurance. I'm going to live, and I do live, because Jesus lives. As you look out in this world and you look at the different religions that are in the world, and you look at different people who are even, they even decry religion, they want nothing to do with religion, and you look for reasons to have faith, and there are few reasons in this world to have faith. Many times it's because men change and circumstances change. You can't put your faith in things anymore. You know, there are people that would put their faith in the stock market. In the stock market. Can't put your faith in the stock market. There are people that have put their faith in the coal industry. Right? There are people that build their faith upon things in this world. And what happens? They change. They go away. The Word of God stands assured. We can put our faith in Christ. There's nothing in this world in which we can have assurance in other than the things that are eternal. God's Word and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our assurance is in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice this. The response to those here in Athens to the preaching of the resurrection. Verse 32 says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from them." My question to you today is, what is your response to the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? The preaching of the resurrection. How have you responded to the preaching of the resurrection? Some today will respond with indifference. It will not matter to them. They're just here, and they don't care about what's going on here. They don't even care about the word that's being preached. They just want to get it over with, and they're going to respond with indifference. Others are going to mock at the message, like they did there in Athens. They will scoff at the message. But yet there are some who will respond with faith. There are some who have responded with faith. And because of that, they have assurance. They have hope of life eternal because of the evidence of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. They know they live, and you can know you live because Jesus Christ has been raised again. He's been resurrected. What is going to be your response to the preaching of the resurrection? Now let's turn over to the book of Colossians in chapter number 2. Because here Paul is talking to the church at Colossae about assurance also. Remember, we're wanting to have assurance. We're wanting to have confidence, realizing that the word assurance means that there is a furnishing of a ground of full of confidence. We can have confidence because of what God has done, because of the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul here talking to the church at Colossae in Colossians in chapter number 2. He says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them that are at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Paul is desiring for them to use their intellect and to grasp the mystery of Christ in order to understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In order to understand the assurance that you have in Christ Jesus, you need to understand the mystery of God, of the Father, and Jesus Christ. And it will require the use of your mental capacities. But when you understand the mystery of Christ, it brings assurance. When you understand the plan of God that brings salvation, when you understand the eternity of the plan of God and how God originated that plan before He spoke this world into existence, and when you realize that God foreordained and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, and He elected us unto salvation, and He brought salvation to us because He drew us unto Himself. And we know and we understand the salvation is of the Lord. It's not of us, but it's of God. It's the plan of God. It is the plan that God had provided to bring salvation to His people. When you understand the mystery of Christ, it brings assurance. Because you know it's what God has done to you. You know that it is God that has brought it to you. You know that it is God who is working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so your hope is in the Lord. Your hope's not in yourself. Your hope is in the Lord. And when you understand the mystery of Christ, it brings full assurance. And He tells them, as He encourages them to know the mystery of Christ, when He encourages them, here's what He says. He tells them that your hearts might be knit together. That your hearts might be bonded together. And that your hearts would be comforted because of the riches of full assurance. You know, that's exactly what assurance has done for me. My heart has been comforted. You know, it's very difficult to lose a loved one. It's very difficult to watch someone drop off into eternity. But when you know they've trusted Christ, you have confidence in the life that they have. If they don't know Christ, there is no assurance. But when you know that they know Christ, your hearts are comforted. And also, as you go through this life, there are many people that don't know about life. They don't understand about life. They don't understand the purpose of life. They don't understand what is the reason for it all and what's going on. I remember whenever I was first saved, there was the song that said, "Stop the world, I want to get off. It's too weird for me." That's what some people say. Stop the world, I want to get off. It's too crazy here. I just don't know what's going on. And as you see the news reports and all the stuff that's going on, man, you can be overwhelmed as you think about all the tragedy and the devastation and the death and the dying and the wars and the rumors of war and all of those things. Man, it is too much for us to bear. Unless we trust in the Lord. Unless we know we put our faith in Him. Unless we know that it's He that is in control of this world and that He is orchestrating His plan for this world and that whatever is happening because He either ordained it to happen or He chose to allow it to happen. When we begin to know and understand the plan of God and what God is doing, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in Me. When Jesus Christ said to believe in Him, we can be comforted. We can trust in Him. We can have assurance. Because even the world, even though the world is going crazy, we're just trusting in the Lord. We're just walking with Him. Our assurance is in Him. And our hearts, therefore, are comforted. Let me offer to you today and encourage you today to be comforted by Christ. In this world, you're going to find tribulation. In this world, you're going to find heartache. In this world, you're going to find pain. In this world, you're going to find people that forsake you. In this world, you're going to find loss. But in Christ, hope. In Christ, assurance. And let that message comfort your heart as you turn your life over to Him. Full assurance in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wanted the church of Colossae to know. He wanted them to be confident, or to be comforted, because of the assurance that they have in Christ Jesus. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing that you have been chosen by God. For a gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul is here telling the church at Thessalonica that when the gospel comes, it gives assurance. And the reason that it gives assurance is because of the Holy Spirit of God at work. He said in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. It's not just that I stood preaching to you the word, but it came in power and in the Holy Ghost. In other words, here's what it said. You didn't just hear the words that I said. You saw the Holy Spirit begin to move upon the hearts of people. And you begin to see the power of God displayed in the hearts and lives of people. And you begin to see lives change. And the changed lives are that which gives you confidence that it's not just the words of God, but it is the power of God unto salvation. When our gospel came, it didn't come in the words, but the Holy Spirit utilized it, and the Holy Spirit moved on people's hearts, and lives were changed. It is the full confidence which comes from the Holy Spirit of God. See, we understand and we know the power of the gospel in a changed life. The book of John, chapter number 3, talks about the wind blowing where it listeth, and we cannot tell from whence it came. Now, March the 2nd will be the anniversary of the tornado. Now, I didn't see the tornado. I didn't see it. But I know it happened. You know why I know it happened? All I gotta do is go uptown and I can still see the evidence. That tornado went through our community and it destroyed much property and much in life in the other community. Right? I never saw it, but I know it was there because of the lives that it changed. The same thing's true of the Holy Spirit. Someone just doesn't tell us that the Holy Spirit comes. We see the change that it makes in people's lives. We know that the Holy Spirit has been there because the Holy Spirit changes lives. Now there are those that have only had a minimal assent to the Word of God. There are those that have heard the Word of God and they say, yeah, I believe the Word of God is true and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that's the only effect. They've only had a minimal assent to the Word of God. That person has no confidence. But there's another person who has felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit. There's another person that's felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's another person that began, because of the Holy Spirit revealing to them their sin, began to see that they're a sinner before God and they're guilty before God. And so therefore they cry out in repentance. And because they cried out in repentance and they trusted in God, then they begin to make changes in their life because they want to be pleasing to God. That person knows the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit, and therefore they can have assurance because they're not just saying, well, I heard the word and I know that Jesus Christ is alive, and you know, it's not just something that happens in their head. They know what has happened in their heart, and they know that their heart has been changed, and because they felt the moving of the Holy Spirit, and they've seen the change in their life, and they know the change has taken place in their heart and their life, they now have assurance. Do you know this, that I have doubted my salvation in the past? Brother Mark, you've doubted, yeah. And you know what I always go back to? You know what gives me assurance? That night when the Holy Spirit began to convict my heart. That night when the Holy Spirit slew me and drew me unto God. The fact that I know that the Holy Spirit is at work in my life even today, that's what gives me assurance. The more work of the Holy Spirit you've experienced, the more assurance you have. If you've never felt the movement of the Holy Spirit on your heart, if you've never felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been slain before God that you know that you're guilty, I say you better examine yourself and see if you be in a bag. Because here's what I know. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit draws men unto God. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to life. And that's what my assurance is in. My assurance is not that I'm a pastor of a Emmanuel Baptist Church. My assurance is not that I have been baptized. My assurance is not that I go to church every time the doors are open. No, my assurance is in what the Holy Spirit has done in my heart and in my life. And you know what? The assurance that I have for you, some of you, is what I've seen God do in your life. I've seen the changes that He's made. And you know the assurance that I don't have for some of you is because I haven't seen the Holy Spirit make changes in your life. The Holy Spirit is that which gives us. We can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit changes men's lives. And that's what gives us confidence. It's what gives us assurance. It is the evidence of the power of God working in us. So the work of conviction and regeneration is that which gives us assurance. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. It is the assurance which is gained because of the work of the Holy Spirit that gives us hope unto the end. If your hope is in your feelings, your feelings are going to cease. Your feelings are going to change. One day you're going to feel on the mountaintop and you're going to feel like, woohoo, I'm saved. And the next day you're going to be in the pits of despair and you're going to say, I must not be saved. And the next day you may wake up and you're feeling good and you're saying, woohoo, I must be saved, I'm feeling good. And the next day, you know, your lumbago's hurting and your knees are hurting and you got the bills are coming in. You just don't feel too good. I must not be saved. Listen, feelings are going to change and they don't give hope and they don't give assurance. Paul said, I know in whom I believe and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to have a good day and I know how to have a bad day. I'm going to continue to trust in Christ. My assurance is not in my feelings. My assurance is in the Lord, in the finished work of Christ. It is the assurance that we know that we have because of the Holy Spirit working in our life that will cause us to persevere. We know what God is doing in us, and we know what God has already done. And so therefore we're going to live for Him. Will cause us to live in perseverance. Look at Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. The work of the Holy Spirit brings an earnestness or an eagerness to follow Christ. That's why in Hebrews 6 we said, giving all diligence. The work of the Holy Spirit brings an earnestness or an eagerness to follow Christ. Then we can draw near with a true heart because of the full assurance of our faith in Christ. It brings us, it will cause us to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It will cause us to remove an evil conscience. It will cause us to have our bodies washed with the pure word. And it will cause us to have a good faith. Hold fast the profession of our faith. In other words, the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus will have an effect in our lives and will be very confident, it will bring assurance. It will bring holiness and eagerness to be pleasing to God. It will cause diligence in our lives because we know that our hope is in Jesus Christ. See, it is an understanding of what Christ has done that brings assurance. And assurance is because of the evidence which is brought forth by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings forth that evidence because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Those things are what gives us assurance. But what response will you have to the evidence today? Will you have indifference? Will you mock? Or will you have faith being drawn nearer to God? Every believer needs assurance. And an understanding of the mystery of Christ will bring assurance. I pray today that God's Word gives you assurance. That today you will build your hope in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His resurrection from the dead will give you assurance and hope until the end. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the preaching of your Word. I pray that you draw hearts near to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.